Hello, and thank you for joining us on Dark FM Radio. We are currently
on the air.
The Dixie Standards are coming thick and fast now. Here's the Bridge City Jazzmen's version of another favorite, Jada.
Hail you ghouls and goblins out there. You've tuned into Dark FM Radio. As always, I'm your host, James Blackbone. If you've listened in before, then you know what we do. But if you're new to the show, first of all, welcome. Here at Dark FM Radio, we tell stories. And not just any stories. First-hand accounts of unexplainable and creepy experiences. Anonymous emails and letters from regular people who claim to have witnessed or experienced something from either the supernatural, maybe some sort of strange or dark encounter, or just an overall terrifying experience. Tonight we have a few spine-tingling stories that are bound to get under your skin. So, sit back, relax, turn out the lights, and join us.
Hello, I'm Eva, a small-town girl from rural Maine, and I have a very odd story regarding an unexplainable happening I experienced 4 years back. My then-boyfriend and I were driving to his house after a dinner date and decided to take the long way home, also known as the back roads. Back roads in our area guide you on a beautiful journey through the woods, and we loved cruising by while listening to our music. More often than not, we'd go driving on the back roads just for the hell of it when we had nothing else to do. It's a small town thing. So, that's what we were doing. Windows down, music blasting, like every other night until we drove past something we found a bit strange. A man was on the side of the road facing a tree with his back turned to us. He stood completely still, like a mannequin. His face was so close to the tree that we couldn't see his face as we passed. He was wearing gloves and a long winter coat, even though it was summertime. "What the hell? Did you just see that guy facing the tree like that?" I asked my boyfriend, unsure of what was going on. "Yeah, that was weird," he laughed. "Should we turn around and see if he's still doing it?" he asked playfully. We had nowhere to be, so I said, "Yeah," and he pulled a U-turn to the middle of the road. We drove past where the man had stood, but he was no longer there. "He's not there," I said in shock. For not even 2 minutes had passed since we last saw him. "Did we just see a ghost?" I asked, slightly frightened. No houses were nearby, and it was extremely dark outside since there weren't any streetlights or moonlight due to the heavy clouds. If it weren't for our car's headlights, we would have never been able to see the man at all. To think that this man was alone in the pitch dark and staring at a tree before vanishing was very unsettling. We pulled another U-turn to direct ourselves home again. And then the man reappeared a quarter mile down the road where we initially saw him, and once again his back was facing us, but he was now staring off into the woods rather than facing a tree. "How's that possible?" my boyfriend gasped. "There's no way he could have made it this far so quickly, especially without us seeing him." We both looked at each other with concern, unsure of what our curiosity was getting us into. "I'm turning around again," he said before whipping his car back around. We drove slowly down, both looking out the window to see where the man had gone next. We found him directly across the street from the first sighting. He was standing in the middle of a pullover nook, holding his body incredibly still, facing the dark forest before him. Nobody can continuously reappear on different parts of the road the way he did. It's just not possible unless you have the power of teleportation. My boyfriend stopped the car for a second to observe him, and as we watched this stranger standing entirely motionless in the dark, my intuition was screaming at me to get out of there immediately. Let's go now, I squealed. Please, just let's go. I then yelled at him. We sped off to be away from the man, but unfortunately had to make a fourth U-turn to head back in the direction of home. I was terrified to the point of nausea by the idea of passing this man again, scared to see where they'd be standing next, what they'd be staring at, and if they'd turn their attention to us. He didn't reappear on the fourth drive-by. We both kept an eye out, but he was out of sight. What was once an ordinary evening turned into a horror story, and we were incomprehensibly stunned by it all. Unsure of what was truly happening with the man, I saged my boyfriend's entire house when we arrived as he locked every door. Not that we thought this man would come to the house. He had no idea where we live, but then again, who knows what could happen? I randomly think of it to this day, especially when I'm driving down that same road. I can't conjure a solid explanation for it. Honestly, believe it or not, it was just simply unexplainable.
I hope this email finds you well. I'm reaching out to share an unexplainable occurrence that I experienced this year, hoping that you'll find it interesting for your radio station. It's relatively short, yet I thought you might be interested. My close friend Steven moved into a new house and wanted me to see it, so he invited me for a couple of beers after work. As I was on my way, he called and said he was being held up at the office and would be running late, telling me to welcome myself inside while I waited. I found a spare key under the doormat and invited myself in. Immediately, a large black cat ran to greet me at the door. I didn't know he had a cat, so I assumed he adopted it after moving in. I hung out with this cat for an hour while waiting for Steven to arrive. Before resting on the kitchen windowsill, he cuddled beside me for a good while. Eventually, the cat begged at the back door for me to let him outside. I noticed Steven's backyard was fenced in, so I assumed it'd be okay to let the cat roam. About 10 minutes later, the cat was meowing to get let back in. I opened the door and a white cat strutted in from outside. I was surprised by this, initially unaware Steven even had cats. I tried to call him and ask if the white one was his too, but he didn't answer. The white cat seemed comfortable in Steven's home, so I figured it must be his. Then the white cat meowed to go back out, so I let him. Soon after doing this, Steven walked through the front door. I greeted him and offered him one of the beers I had brought, and we sat on the couch and caught up with one another. "I didn't know you were a cat guy," I said to him. "I'm not," he grunted. "Then why do you get two of them?" I laughed. He faced me with a look of surprise. "You see them too?" he asked in astonishment. I was very confused by the question at first, asking him what he meant by that. I don't have cats, he said. The black one appeared in my home out of nowhere last week and approached me. I asked a girl I had over if she let him inside, and she didn't know what I was talking about. The cat was sitting at my feet, clear as day, and I asked her, "Do you not see this cat?" My heart began to sink as I realized where the story was heading. She told me there was no cat and asked if I was okay. You could tell she was worried, so I took a picture of it on my phone, and as I clicked the image afterward, there was no cat, just my feet resting on the floor. I thought I was losing my mind. You have no idea how relieved I am that you saw it too. What the fuck? I yelled, unable to believe what I was hearing. Have you seen the white one too? I asked him. Steven said he'd only seen the white cat once, but sees the black cat nearly every day. He genuinely started to believe that he was losing his mind, but I confirmed that that wasn't the case. Steven told me it would constantly appear in his house without being let in. He'd randomly spot the cat sitting on his bed, strutting on the kitchen counters, lying on the couch, or simply passing by and brushing against its leg. I'm sure you've heard of ghost sightings, but have you heard about phantom animals? Kind of funny in a peculiar way, I guess. Thanks for listening.
Fair warning. This report is graphic and may upset those grieving the loss of a loved one. In 2016, my mom informed me that my uncle had called and was feeling very sick. So she asked me to bring him over some soup that she had made. When I arrived at the house, it was dark outside, so I wasn't very mindful of my surroundings. I knocked on his door several times before attempting to allow myself in, thinking he was too sick to get up. He locked his door, so I struck again and again until I heard a loud thud and cracking noise behind me. I whirled and saw my uncle's body lying on the pavement behind me. Forensic pathologists later concluded, through investigation, that he had jumped off his roof and plummeted to his death, ruling it a suicide. Of course, my family and I had a challenging time coming to terms with this, and the memory of his lifeless body haunting me, keeping me awake for days. My uncle seemed more excited about life than anyone I knew. He was a world traveler, having just arrived home after spending 2 months in Peru when I tried to bring him my mother's soup. While in Peru, he mentioned how much he loved that country and told our family where he planned to fly next. He had so many plans and enthusiasm. Ending his own life on a whim was impossible for us to accept. 1 month later, our family got together to celebrate the memory of his life and bury him beside my great-grandmother. Lowering his casket into the ground is when it finally hit me. He was gone. My uncle owned his house, so there was no authoritative pressure for us to empty his belongings by any deadline. Friends and family eventually gathered in his home to try and manage his possessions. As I was helping to carry his couch down the stairs and move it into a U-Haul truck, I heard my uncle's voice call out, "What are you doing?" agitatedly. I dropped my end of the couch in shock and looked over at my cousin who was lugging it with me. "I heard Uncle Ray's voice," I gasped, tears coming out of my eyes. "I heard it too," my cousin replied, just as shaken as I. "Hey, stop," his voice yelled, echoing from down the hallway. "Ray?" my aunt shrieked. My cousin and I exchanged looks of skepticism. Did everyone hear his voice? Ray stormed around the corner and approached us. What are you doing? He shouted again. Everyone looked like they'd seen a ghost because, deep down, we all thought it was his ghost. Is nobody gonna answer me? What the fuck? He threw his duffel bag to the ground before demanding we return all his belongings to their places. Ray, is that you? I cried. No shit. Somebody please tell me what's happening, he said, his face red with anger. This isn't possible, my Aunt Weld, you died. Died? I was in Peru, everybody knows that. No, Ray, you died, my aunt screamed, dropping to the floor. Auntie was convinced we were interacting with his wandering spirit, but I was starting to realize that wasn't the case. My uncle was standing before me, alive and well. I ran up and hugged him tighter than I ever hugged him before, allowing my tears to pour onto his shirt as I embraced his warm body and strong heartbeat beneath his chest. While holding him, my mind convinced me that I was dreaming, as I'm sure others were convinced of the same. But it was only a matter of time before we collectively accepted the truth. We weren't dreaming. Uncle Ray is here. I told Ray I had seen him jump off his roof and kill himself a month prior, and that we had already buried his body and held services for him. When I tell you I've never seen another human look so terrified, I mean it. Uncle Ray's face turned pale as he told me, "That's impossible. I just arrived from Peru." My mother then turned to me, questioning whether I was sure it was him who fell off the roof. I doubted myself for a moment before remembering what I'd seen, and what I saw was Ray. It was undoubtedly him. I saw his face turn to the side as he lay lifeless on the pavement. I also mentioned that my mother said he called her right before the death occurred, claiming that he was home and feeling unwell. I never called you and said that, he said, staring at my mother. Yes, you did. You almost didn't answer the call because it was coming from an unknown number, but it was you, your voice, your mannerisms, Ray. You told me you were home, she said defensively. Wait, why didn't we hear from you this entire month? We thought you were dead, my cousin finally asked him. We all turned to Ray, waiting for a good explanation. My phone broke and I didn't want to get a new one while I was there. Then I'd have a Peruvian area code, he told us. I emailed you explaining that I'll be in touch. I asked you to pass the message along, he snarked at my aunt. She pulled out her phone and went through her email inbox, denying that she had ever received such a message. However, it was there. Deep in her email was a statement from Ray that dated one day before his supposed death, clarifying why he'll be out of touch. Authorities dug up the body buried under Ray's tombstone for examination. If Ray is alive, we need to know for whom we held a service. The craziest part is that the man was deemed unidentifiable. There were no records of him to be found. It's as if his doppelganger teleported to Ray's roof from another dimension and jumped. Nobody can make sense of it. Not even the detectives. It remains a burdening mystery. But we're thankful to have Uncle Ray back.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Dark FM Radio. Credit our source for these stories, Unexplainable Happenings, Chilling True Stories, by Tom Lyons and Autumn Barnes. You can find that on Kindle. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It truly does help us. Thank you again for tuning into Dark FM Radio. Good night.